Well,
we got our drinks as chasers with more tequila in it.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
To the incoherent fangirl.
Cheers.
Welcome to the incoherent fangirl,
where we are going to be extra incoherent because we are drinking Terramana tequila together. Not sponsored, but we'd love to be.
We would love to be. I am Mandy from the Legendborn Secret Society.
And I'm Karen from Fairbridge. And this is our first episode together.
Together. Won't be our last together.
God, I hope not. That would be depressing.
Yeah. Do we look at each other or do we look at the camera?
I don't know.
I want to look at you.
I want to look at you.
I just want to talk to you. Pretend it's not there.
I want to talk to you.
Okay.
I feel like it's weird to look into a camera.
I know.
And nobody's going to see us looking into it.
Yeah.
Okay. At least not like anytime soon. So.
Deal.
We'll be real awkward about it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm in Georgia.
You're in Georgia. Welcome to the dirty South.
It was an experience tonight at dinner. That was quite windy.
Yeah.
It was quite an adventure.
We were not expecting it to be so cold, and it said it was 71 degrees.
Yeah, it was a lie. It was a lie.
It's not 71 degrees.
All right, well, last week we said we were going to talk about how we came up with our name, which is a fun story.
Yeah.
So I think, well, it started when I was like, Mandy, I have a very serious question to ask you, but you have to promise you're going to read it in song.
And I did.
And I was like, do you want to start a podcast? Or more appropriately, do you want to start a podcast? And she immediately yelled, yes.
Absolutely.
In all caps.
Yes. Yes, I do.
And so the first thing that I thought of, I was like, we could be like the weekly fan, what was it? A weekly fangirl? Fangirl weekly.
Weekly or something.
And we were
like
really
that.
Excited we were about like, yeah. It. And I went Googling, and there's a makeup artist who goes by Fangirl Weekly.
Which is weird because.
I mean, good. Makeup. You know, whatever. To each their own. But yeah. We were really sad. And then we're like, oh no, what to do? And Mandy was like, we could just be like incoherent fangirl noises. And I just threw my arms out. I'm like, Mandy, the incoherent fangirl.
The incoherent fangirl.
That's it. That's us.
And the legend was born in that moment.
And it was perfect. We immediately grabbed all the socials for it.
Yes.
Except for Twitter, which I'm still mad about.
Hey, Twitter. We'll cuss
frickin',
you out at the end of the episode.
Frickin' Twitter. Every time. But yeah, we went for it. It all went really quickly.
It really did. I feel like the idea, and within a couple of weeks, we were recording.
Yeah.
We hit the ground running.
And we were listening to our first episode today in the car. My God, y'all, how did you come back? Why are you still coming back?
Because
that first episode was, that was rough, y'all.
Yeah.
Our audio sucked. Mm-hmm. We were super awkward.
We were very giggly.
The transitions were bad.
Yeah.
Thank you for sticking with us. Because
we've got people in Israel.
We've got Israel.
Finland?
Germany has listened to every episode.
Germany, we love
we
you.
We love
whoever
you.
Whoever you are in Germany, tell us who you are.
Germany and the U.S. have been the only two countries that have listened to every episode. But we're in the U.S., so it doesn't really count as much. So Germany, thank you, whoever you are.
We love you. Tell us who you are. Reach out.
Yeah.
We want to virtually
hug
you.
Let's be internet besties.
Yes.
Pretty please.
Yes.
So yeah, that's our origin story.
Yeah.
That is our origin story.
And now here we are sipping some tequila in my library.
This tequila, y'all.
So smooth.
We are not sponsored by Terramana Tequila, but Dwayne Johnson, if you ever hear this, hit us up.
Yeah.
Because we're not big tequila drinkers.
I'm not a tequila drinker, but I was expecting a burn. That was so smooth.
It went down so smoothly. No chaser or anything. It was just a shot of tequila.
I was just like, I gritted my teeth waiting for it to bite me, and it did not. It did not disappoint at all.
So if you are a tequila drinker, highly recommend it. Terramana.
We've got it in our juice, too. I've got it in my Juicy Juice Fruit Punch.
And I got some pineapple juice. And so we're going to be sipping on that.
Oh, that's dangerous because I can't taste that there's tequila.
We're going to be sipping on this. So we might just get worse and worse
as
the podcast goes on.
More incoherent than we already are. This is scary.
It's going to be great. Y'all are going to love it.
This is going to be gold.
It's going to be comedy gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So should we get into the next
Yeah.
Do we have anything else? How else do we start the podcast? That's it, right?
Incoherent babble.
Normally, we just talk and then we go.
Every time we say something incoherent or nonsensical, take a shot of whatever you got.
Doesn't have to be alcohol, because I know some of y'all don't drink.
Hydrate.
Drink some water.
Yeah. Get some juice.
All right. Yeah. So next step. Fictional boyfriend of the week.
Woo!
Yay! I guess I'm gonna go with Hunter Yi.
Yeah.
Hunter Yi and Luna Chang.
I need you to tell your story that you told me about your realization on the plane.
Okay. Can I talk about it in the next segment? Because then I can talk about the book too.
Yes. Okay.
It makes more sense.
Fair. Teaser. Come stay here.
Stick around, because I had a moment on the plane ride over here where I literally stopped and was like, Karen, you're an idiot. Straight up.
And it relates to it.
So stick around.
Girlfriend.
But yeah, I think I'm going to go with, I mean, that's pretty much all I've done. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. Hunter Yi and Luna Chang from An Arrow to the Moon by Emily X. R. Pan.
Okay, so my fictional boyfriend of the week
stayed the same.
Yeah, it's still Selwyn Cain from Legendborn. Just long dark hair, engaged ears, and kind of alternative, and I am obsessed.
I love it.
And the ending of this book, the chokehold that it has on me. I think it's like August-ish is when the next book comes out.
Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to survive this.
Oh.
Wait.
That August is going to be a good month for you then.
Yeah.
Because you got that, and we've got, what is it, Starlight in the Shadows?
Yes.
It's going to be a good month.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right.
So and Kane.
I have to read it.
You do. Like, it hooked me from, like, the first second.
And that's a good transition into this week in fangirling, because I am reading An Arrow to the Moon, which I have been talking about this book for as long as I've known about it.
Yeah.
I have been so excited for this book. It finally came out. I was really worried because I got a shipping notification saying it was coming before the release date, which was the 12th. And then my tracking was like, it's going to be delivered on the 16th. And I'm like, okay, great. It's going to be 16th. I fly out on the 17th. I can read it on the plane. Mm-hmm. And the tracking wasn't updating. And I was panicking.
I hate that feeling.
But then it was out for delivery. It was fine. I got it. I was like, okay. And I told you this. I opened it. I got a signed copy. I didn't realize it was going to be personalized, which was really exciting.
That is really exciting, especially because you love her so much.
I love her so much. Well, because also, she's like, just put a note in the comments if you want it personalized. And I didn't at the time because I didn't think about it. And so it came personalized. I was very excited about it. But so I opened it and I looked at it, I read it, and I was like, okay, and I flipped the page and I read the first page, and then I like couldn't stop turning pages.
It's like, oh no, I'm addicted to this.
I was hooked from the first page. I am in love with this story. I read it on the plane. I'm like 3/4 of the way through.
Yeah.
But my realization on the plane. So An Arrow to the Moon is, the best way to describe it is, it's a Romeo and Juliet retelling mashed up with Chinese mythology, specifically the myth of the moon goddess Chang'e and her lover Ho Yi. The main characters are Luna Chang and Hunter Yi. And about 150 pages into this book, I just look at it, I'm like, Luna Chang, as in Chang'e. Because it's spelled the same. Luna Chang is how you're probably supposed to pronounce it, but I'm being an American. And then Hunter Yi, like Ho Yi. Like, I literally stopped reading, looked up, and facepalmed, and was just like, Karen, you are such an idiot.
You're not. But I love this story.
It was a whole moment. I straight up just stopped reading and facepalmed. On the plane. What was that? What was wrong with you, child? So that's what I'm reading. What else did I do this week, though? The Kids' Choice Awards was last weekend, which, as I've said multiple times, I love award shows. And this one, my daughter was really excited about. So she's like, let's watch the Kids' Choice Awards, which was fun. There was No, this wasn't during the Kids' Choice Awards. I also watched the CMT Awards, which was also this
really
past. Yeah, I love country music.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty much country music and like show tunes. That's what I listen to.
I like I don't like a lot of modern country anymore, but yeah, like the 90s country.
I love country music. But so I watched the CMTs, which was like the day after the Kids' Choice Awards. Anthony Mackie was a co-host.
Huh.
Because he's a huge country music fan. But there was a point during the broadcast where it like was a commercial and they came back from commercial and Anthony Mackie's sitting there with Kane Brown, who is like co-hosting with him, and he's sitting there talking, just like chilling and like drinking, and Kane's like, we're back. And Anthony Mackie's like, oh, we're back, it's live, and starts chugging his like drink. I think it was as like a joke, but
yeah,
it was really,
like,
he was just like, it was really funny. I laughed so hard. I was like, that was adorable. I went and saw Rent on stage. It was so good. So good.
How did your kid like it?
She really liked it. Asked her, I was like, at intermission, I was like, how are you feeling? She's like, I like it. And then at the end, I was like, did you like it? And she's like, yeah, I liked it. So, good. I mean, obviously she doesn't get all the big themes or whatnot,
right, but
it's a production. It was really cool. I feel like you should always give props to whoever is playing Maureen, because the Over the Moon and that whole like song just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so whoever's performing it, kudos to them, because damn, I could never.
No.
I could
not
never.
A lot of people can.
But the Mimi was fantastic. She was so good. Oh my gosh, I loved it so much. It was such a great production. Everybody was amazing. There was one point, I think it was Mimi and Roger were on tables, and then they were like, part of the cast was on stage as well, just like sitting around doing their thing, and then Mimi slipped, like almost, and so it was really smooth. Like I almost couldn't tell if it was like on
real
purpose,
or
if it was, but you know, somebody just came up, caught her, put her back up on the table. It like looked so smooth.
Oh my gosh.
It was really, I always worry, like when I watched Hamilton on Disney Plus for the first time and Leslie Odom Jr. jumps up on the railing.
Yes.
I freak out every time that he's gonna, like, I know it's
you
a recording.
Know it's not. You know it's a recording.
But I freak out. He's
leaning out like that.
I freak out. And so like when I saw that live, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right. So they're pros. It was so good. And then for movie night, we watched Raya and the Last Dragon, which Beth has never seen. And I was like, how? And we were watching it, and I was like, do you recognize this voice? And she's like, no, I'm bad with voices. I'm like, that's Kelly Marie Tran. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, there's going to be two more in this movie that you may or may not recognize. I know for a fact one of them you will recognize.
Yeah.
And the other one, I don't even recognize, so you probably won't. But as soon as Sisu comes in, I was like, do you get it? Do you know who did this? And she sat there, she's like, oh, bok bok, bitch. Because that is, when we watch Crazy Rich Asians, that's our thing now. Every now and then, we'll just scream out at each other, bok bok, bitch.
I love.
Because freaking Awkwafina.
I love and die for her.
I love her.
I do.
But did you know that Namari is voiced by Gemma Chan?
I did not.
It doesn't even sound like her.
No.
Yeah. I specifically listened for it this time, and I was like, what? She is.
I have to watch it again now.
I know. I found
that. Find it on YouTube and, like, listen to a clip.
I know. It doesn't sound like her, because it's an American accent.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not American.
Yeah.
But it was like, damn, girl. Good for you.
She did it, yeah.
Good for you.
I like it.
There were other... Oh, I think Benedict Wong does one of the voices.
No.
Yes. I looked it up afterwards. I was looking at the voice cast.
Benedict, and you're like, wait a second.
I was
hold
like,
on.
Benedict Wong is also British?
I knew that. That I did know.
That surprised me when I found that out.
Like, I saw a meme of like two British Benedicts.
Yeah.
And it was him and Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Together.
But I was like, I like it. But I was like, oh...
Yeah.
All right. I forget who he played, but he was one. And there was Alan Tudyk was Tuk Tuk.
Well,
which I didn't know, but does not surprise me.
No.
Because what Disney sidekick is he not?
Exactly.
Like,
all of the above.
So that was fun. And then immediately after watching Raya, I was like, I kind of for some reason want to watch The Greatest Showman. So
I've been kind of itching to watch The Greatest Showman. Every now and then,
I just really want to watch The Greatest Showman again. And it's great. I love The Greatest Showman.
I do too, even though it's so wrong. I know. He was not a good guy.
No, he was a terrible guy.
But
it's so good. Such a good
movie. Hugh Jackman, you know.
He
put him in anything he's got to sing in, he's going to kill.
He kills it. But speaking of The Greatest Showman, did you know? So Lin-Manuel Miranda does I don't know if it's like once a week or once a month at one of the theaters in New York where they just do free movie screenings, like free. And so recently it was The Greatest Showman. And so they were showing it on the big theater screen, but they had like Mandy Gonzalez came out and sang, what's the big number?
Never
Enough with Alex Lacamoire accompanying. And then I saw a clip on TikTok recently where he was, like, still introducing the movie, and he was saying how that he, like, sat down to watch it with his mom, and the scene where Zendaya and Zac Efron, like, she lifts him up.
Yes.
And his mom yells at the screen, "But he's not trained!
What are you doing?"
And so he was like, if we could just, when we get to that part in the movie, can we all just yell, "But he's not trained!"
He's not trained!
And I was just like... So precious.
I love that.
So precious. So that, and then Moon Knight. We haven't talked about it yet.
No. Because I love Moon Knight. It's my husband is kind of like, it's been kind of boring, which I don't understand.
I don't understand your husband.
I don't either.
But so Theories by T on TikTok has seen the first four episodes as part of, like, he's a reviewer.
Right.
So he's seen the first four episodes, and he is like, he mentioned, like, before when he saw it, he was like, why would they give us four episodes? It's only a six-episode series. And then after he saw the fourth episode, he was like, I get it now.
Yeah.
And he says, like, hold on. Episode four is the one that's going to melt your brain. So episode three, can we talk about the fact that there is a third personality there?
I know. I'm going to be surprised if there's not more than that.
Well, so in the comics, there's Jake Lockley, which is the third, the third alter, who is apparently much more violent than either of them.
Yeah.
Like, Lord. I saw a theory that, you know that scene in, I think it's the first episode, where he has a scarab and he has to fight off everybody?
Yeah.
And he, like, blacks out and then comes back? I saw a theory that wasn't Mark, that was Jake.
That would make sense.
Because
you don't know that... I don't think that Mark would willingly just give up the front while he goes to sleep.
Right. You know? Like, especially in that situation.
It seems kind of random, you know, who fronts when it's between Mark and... Or it seems kind of random at that point, but when it's between Mark and Steven, it's very chosen and specific.
And ooh, like Mark wouldn't have given it up in that situation. Like, he would have been worried about... them dying,
right?
You know, like putting Steven back in the forefront. So,
right.
But
the moment, can't wait. This is a mild spoiler, but it doesn't spoil any part of the plot.
Oh,
whenever they go to the sarcophagus and he's like gesturing wildly around, and she's like, he's just excited or something like that. I really remember what she said. I cackled.
I really liked the part where he's like, Mark, give me the body. And then it goes to Steven, and then immediately gets stabbed. He's like, Mark, take the body, take the body.
Take the body, I don't want the body. Take the body.
Oh, my gosh. And I really liked, somebody was like, at the end where the transition is so clean between Mark and Steven because they're starting to trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. I, like, never would have thought of that. No. I love, bless TikTok for for connecting me
just
with these people.
Just all of these theories that you never would have.
However, I would have been really mad if I was on TikTok during WandaVision, because apparently those theories were out of control.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
I don't remember seeing stuff on TikTok for WandaVision, but...
I wasn't on TikTok when WandaVision came out, so I came onto TikTok afterwards, so...
I like the ones where they'll see something in, like, the background of a movie that is going to show up, like, six movies later and no one knew it, and then now it's, like...
Somebody made the connection in that scene where he's like, all right, everybody just calm the F down to, I think it's Infinity War, when Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Pratt, the Guardians, come in and they're like fighting Iron Man, Spider-Man, and yeah. Doctor Strange. And then RDJ is just like, all right, everybody calm the F down.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like, oh, I literally never would have thought of that.
No.
The amount of detail these people
I don't have remember. The brain capacity for that.
No.
I'm too stupid for that. I can't remember what I ate yesterday.
Exactly.
Let alone, like, minute details of movies like
exactly.
that. Props yes. to you guys. I wish I could do that.
Pros, because that is definitely not me. I will just enjoy it, watch it, and be good. Like, y'all can tell me what you think.
Did you do anything else this week?
Not according to my notes.
Okay, I didn't do very much this week.
I was like, did I do anything else?
I did finish Legendborn. Mm-hmm. I highly, highly recommend. It is fantastic. I don't want to give it away because, like, this secret society that she becomes a part of is something that a lot of people, like, would know and recognize, but that, like, you don't see it coming.
Okay.
It's very cool. It's very, to me, I thought it was very unique storytelling. The ending just kind of leaves it up in the air. I think a love triangle is being set in motion. Of course, she's with the wrong guy. I cannot stand.
Wait. Speaking of love triangles, I did do one more thing.
Uh-oh.
I read Scar's Alex story.
Oh, well, we'll talk about
that. That was this week.
Yeah.
I just remembered.
Of course, the main character is with the wrong guy.
Of course.
Which I can't stand a morally righteous... goody two shoes. I hate it. Yeah, it's super good. And then I watched I've watched The Gilded Age.
Okay. I remember.
Oh my god. It's from the creator of Downton Abbey.
Okay.
It's not as good as Downton, but nothing is really, you know. But it takes place in New York in, like, I think it's, like, supposed to be like the 1880s to 1900s ish. And I honestly, I need to add another book or another fictional boyfriend because they're George Russell.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a very wealthy man who, like, moves to town and he is, like, super in love with his wife and, like, super, like, I will do anything for her.
Aww.
And the society, the high society looks at them as, like, new money. So even though they're richer than anybody.
Yeah.
They kind of are snubbed, especially the wife. People are respectful to him and they're nice to him, but her, they're... cruel too.
Rude.
And at one point, this is kind of a spoiler, so maybe skip the next minute or so. There's this scene where they're gonna have this big, like, charity bazaar, but there's an issue with where they're gonna have it. And so his wife says, you can have it in our ballroom. We've been wanting, you know, people to come over. We're wanting to socialize. We want friends.
Yeah,
basically. And she's like, I'll let you, you don't have to pay me, it's for charity, like, I would love to host. And instead of using her, they pay a hotel. And so he's like, get dressed, come on. And they go up there, and she's not very timid. She's got her head held high. She's a badass bitch mm-hmm. in her own right. But they walk in, and he walks up to just one of the booths. They're selling things to raise money for charity. And he says, how much are you hoping to sell this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, maybe $30, $40. And he says, here's $100. I want all of your stuff. Shut your booth down. Whatever. Goes to every single booth, passing out $100 bills just to shame all of the people who mm-hmm. snubbed his wife.
Oh.
A freaking king. And then I don't want to, like, this is a major spoiler, so I won't give this one away. But he delivers a line in one of the last episodes that I am still, like, choking, laughing when I think about it. And my husband was like, he just murdered everyone when he says this. So, yeah, The Gilded Age okay. is just chef's kiss. It is so good. And I watched it, like, every night this week. I didn't read very much.
I will add it to my list.
And then, yeah, we need to talk about Scars because it's finally out. We've only been talking about it since the first episode.
If you haven't read it yet, spoilers.
Yeah, because skip to the next segment.
We're going to talk about it. Oh, my word.
I know.
I really wanted to hate Isabella.
I did too, but you can't.
You can't. She was so, I get it.
Like, yeah,
I
she's get, sweet and innocent.
I get her whole thing. Like, I understand her whole story.
Yeah.
Because I get it. Like, yeah. I've been there.
And then you go into it because you hear Bram's side.
Right.
And what Bram and Aaron have to say.
Right.
And The Night the Stars Fell. Mm-hmm. And so you're expecting, you know Alec, or you think you do.
Right.
And so you go into it thinking, did he actually, like, go around and brag until
right.
she, like, spoiler alert, until she kills herself right. over him bragging about sleeping with her. And you're like, I don't think that that's, Alec doesn't seem like that no. guy. And he wasn't.
He wasn't. He it didn't was even sleep
a,
with her.
No, it was just a it misunderstanding was, and yep. a manipulation and someone taking something completely out of context
yep.
and a woman's life ended over yep. it.
And it's really sad because he really did love her.
Yeah, he really did love her and he was going to end it. That's why he's covered in scars is because mm-hmm. he was going to end it too. But somebody finds him and says, no, Astra.
Astra
will need you. She's
Astra
coming.
Astra needs you. And he's like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
And
which is interesting if you think about it, because in The Night the Stars Fell, someone tells Astra, there's someone coming
yeah.
and you need to trust him.
Was it the same person?
I wonder.
I have to reread The Night the Stars Fell.
I hadn't really made that connection, but I wonder if it was the same
if
person.
If it's the same
Amber!
Person. Amber!
Did you do this?
I'm going to text her immediately after this. Amber!
Yeah. Wait a second.
We had a moment on the podcast, please.
We can flip through the books and then see.
Oh, my goodness.
And then harass her. Ma'am, did you just do this?
Did you do... Yeah. So, oh, boy. I'm excited.
So good. I cried and cried. And I'm so happy that, like, we've read it now. So we have people to talk about.
Did you see she posted on TikTok about getting... ready for the ARC team, and I'm like, yes. Mandy, if you do not tell me when this,
I will tell you,
because I will we will break up if you get an ARC and I don't.
I will tell you if
because ma'am
happen
ma'am.
I'm excited because she's talking about for the Starlight and the Shadows
the
doing like a
box.
Yeah,
I know. I really we need to be on that because 100% I am in.
Yeah.
100%. And she's talking about all these. And like, Amber, I've got somebody who wants to do a thing with you.
Yeah.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything. But yeah. So. Yeah.
I mean, she mentioned in Patreon that
they're talking.
Things are, yeah.
They're talking.
Yeah.
I got a text and I was like.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. It's very exciting. So things to come. If you haven't read The Night the Stars Fell or Scar's Alec story,
you are missing out.
Go stop whatever you're doing right now. Pause the podcast.
Yeah,
go
like to... it's, this is more important than you finishing this episode right now.
Sorry,
it
it's
so
true.
Good. It's better than us. I love us.
We're
better than us.
Yeah. But stop everything you're doing. Go to amberdlewis.com or anywhere. Most places where books are sold. Type in The Night the Stars Fell and order it.
Yeah.
Scar's Alec story. Order it. I will link it in the episode description because y'all
you don't want to miss it. Everybody thought I was overhyping it.
Everybody
it was Autumn and me at first.
Everybody was like, are you
you're
just saying
you're her friend.
Are you saying this is because it's really that good or because she's our friend and you want to make sure she does well? And like, no. You don't understand.
And then people would message me afterwards, okay, you weren't overhyping.
They're like,
it
I'm
really
sorry for
good.
Doubting you.
It really is that good. She really is a really talented author. It's not just supporting our friend.
Yeah. It's both.
Yeah.
But it really is. She's a really amazing author. So go check it out. Everybody we've recommended it to has loved it. We have not steered anybody wrong.
Nope.
So please go. Please, please, please.
Then come tell us how right we were because we know, but we love to hear how right we are.
Let her know that we sent you too because we loved seeing that. Somebody put that in the comment of her order.
Yeah.
And then she sent a screenshot to Mandy. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did a little happy dance.
It was really fun. So, yay. Was there anything else this week?
I don't think so.
All right. Where did my money go? Where did your... We went shopping today.
We did go shopping today. We went to Gottwald's Books.
And Target.
Why? You lost some weight at Target.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy. So my daughter, I've had her in the same car seat since she was probably like around one. She had one of the infant bucket seats that you could like unclick from the car. And once she outgrew that, we got the convertible, and she's been in that ever since. She's 7 now.
Yeah.
And it's a pain to travel with.
Yeah.
Especially
on
a plane.
Heavy.
It's heavy. Like, any parent out there will, you know how heavy car seats are, and right. you know how much of a pain they are to install. And so before we flew out here, I went to the Target website, because Target does car seat trade-ins, and you get like a percentage off or whatnot. And I went to the website, and they're like, the next trade-in event is April 18th to 30th. I'm like, my flight is on the 17th. That does not help me get onto the plane at all. So today is the 18th when mm-hmm. we are recording. And I was like, we're going to Target. Mm-hmm. We traded in her nasty, disgusting old car seat. It is gross. Y'all don't understand. It was so gross.
It was not that bad.
It was disgusting.
It was a kid's car seat.
It was disgusting. All the other car seats were fine.
Yeah, well, those were snobby parents who probably, I don't know.
So we traded in her car seat, got a 20% off coupon, and I bought her a brand new car seat. It will travel with her. It breaks apart into like a booster seat, so she can have it until she doesn't need any of that anymore.
And it's so much lighter.
And it's so much lighter. And 20%, it ended up being like $100, yeah. $105 something. So it was amazing. It was like, I think the price was like $103 before tax. But then I get like 15% off with like, I have a team member discount and I have a 5% off discount. Yeah. So it probably ended up being under $100, which bless.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for a car seat.
Oh, for sure.
So good. So and especially it's going to last several years.
And she was so proud of her car seat, too.
She was smiling, sitting in it.
Look at my cup holders.
It was
so low.
So funny. And she was like, we were walking through Target. And I'm like, we got to get you a new car seat. And then you're going to face forward. And she's like, forever? And I was like, yeah, forever. Because she's been rear facing. Yeah. Because this child is so skinny mini.
Yeah, she's teeny.
She's like, and I'm an extra parent, so I'm just like, you will rear face until you outgrow the rear facing requirements, which is 50 pounds.
Yeah.
She is like 48.9 or something. And it keeps fluctuating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's just how weight works.
Yeah.
And so so anytime we're in other people's cars that it doesn't fit rear facing, she would get to forward face and she'd get really excited, which was why she was like, forever. So that was very exciting for her. So we got that. And then we went to books.
Yeah.
I got books. Josh told me not to lean this way, but I'm leaning this way anyways.
Yeah, I'm going to have to lean on the floor for my stack in a minute.
Okay.
Sorry, Josh.
Sorry, Josh.
I love you. The show husband. The show husband and the show mascot.
Yep. All right. So I received an arrow to the moon. I'm showing the camera. Ooh. I'm like not sure where to point it. I'm not sure where it's recording. But I got an arrow to the moon. I also got Scar's Alex story, but I didn't bring it with me. Because why? I already read it.
Yeah, right.
And
I've got two copies.
I know so you do.
Need to read it again.
It's in here somewhere. Here. At Target, I picked up You've Reached Sam by Dustin Thau. And I've seen this on like bestseller list with, I forget who it is. There's an author that I follow on Instagram and it's like, they're like following, they like, their two books are just like 4 and 5 or always one next to each other.
Aww.
And they're like, they're still holding hands on the bestseller list. And
that's
it's so,
so cute.
And the cover is really pretty.
That is a beautiful cover.
So I'm really excited. And I love finding new AAPI authors.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds like it's a male author, but I will give it a chance.
Yeah. I was surprised when you picked it up.
I know.
This is the name Justin. I was like,
I know.
But we'll give you a chance, Dustin.
I'll give it a chance.
Karen will tell me, and I'll read it if it's
good. Looks really pretty. And, you know, I've got one of my AAPI authors that I follow is really keen on it. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it a chance. And then we went to Gottwals.
Yeah.
And I picked up Alex and Eliza by Melissa De La Cruz. In case you didn't know, I'm a bit obsessed with Hamilton.
You don't even like Hamilton.
Just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. So, yeah, I like it. I just saw it on your bookshelf.
Yeah.
It's right there.
It's Alex and Eliza, and then there's Love and War and All for One, and they're it's the Alex and Eliza trilogy.
There's a trilogy?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. All right, I think I got this at Barnes & Noble. It was like, I think it was Black Friday.
Nice. I'll have to look for the other ones because I love it. Yeah.
You had a bit of a, well,
I'm a bit of a fan.
Please put that in your app as a hardback so that when you look for the other two, you know. We had a bit of
a
conundrum today.
Yeah, we were at Target and there's a book called, what's it called?
It's not 5 feet apart. It's what
the other one.
It's not what separates us or something like
something
that.
No, something always. It makes me think of, what's his name? Snape, for some reason.
All this time?
All this time.
Is that it, really?
I think so. I really think that's what it's called. Let me just scroll a little bit. Yeah, it is. It's All This Time.
What? Look at me being the best guesser in the whole world.
So, All This Time was there, and there was another book that was called You Just Said It.
5 feet apart?
5 feet apart.
Oh my God, I panicked.
You literally like looked at you and your face. Yes, like, there's another book.
There was a third that you were talking about.
Like, there's another book called 5 feet apart, and they looked like similar aesthetic. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, this is the same author. Oh, this one came first. Yeah. And they were both in paperback. And I was like, I don't know if my copy of All This, I need them to match.
Yeah.
It'll drive me insane. So I don't know if I had got the paperback or I bought the hardcover. So,
and Book Buddy, we didn't realize.
I didn't realize.
It has a feel for format.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that it didn't automatically do it.
Yeah.
So when I went to go look, I'm like, this is not helpful. Mm-mm. So I had to leave it behind because I don't know if I have a paperback or a hardcover. So who knows? I'll find out when I get home.
I'll find it.
But now I will update my Book Buddy to include all of the formats. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind. And then the last book that I got is I Must Betray You by, how do you say that?
Ruta Sepetys.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. And I was like, I don't know what it's about, but I like the cover. And then I opened it, and the first thing I see is Romania, 1989. And let me tell you how quickly I said yes to that book just on that. Because in case you didn't know, Sebastian Stan is the love of my life. Sebastian Stan was born in Romania.
Yeah.
I was born in 1989. Therefore, clearly, this book was for us.
Yes.
Because logic.
Yeah.
That's logic.
It's a sign from
so,
fates.
Clearly, I needed to buy this book. And then they also have this cute little book light.
That is the cutest little light.
It looks like, you're right, it looks like the little Pixar light, but it clips onto your book or it can stand on your desk. It's the freaking cutest thing ever.
I'm going to need you to test it here before too long because I need to see how... with the light on.
I wanted to read last night, but then I didn't want to get up and turn off the lights. So I was like, well, I guess I'm not reading. I'm excited for that. And then what did I receive? I got, last week I said I ordered the Owlcrate editions of Only a Monster and Once Upon a Broken Heart, and those came in, and they're so pretty. So pretty. I love them. And Arrow to the Moon, Scars. I got my two novelty chess boxes. And they are so pretty. I can't wait to read and drink the teas and all of that. Simu Liu is going on a book tour because he wrote a book.
Yes, he did.
And he's coming to San Francisco. And so I live in San Jose, which is like 45 minutes south. So obviously. I bought tickets. Bought tickets to the signing. They are marketing it as a meet and greet signing. So you get an autograph and a photo with him.
Absolutely.
Which for like
imagine.
For like $31.
That's too cheap.
With the book included.
That's too cheap.
I was like, and then he's doing also like a separate book talk, a separate event the same day, where he's just probably reading from the book and talking about the book or whatnot. And that was like $55 to $75. But it's being held. But I couldn't tell. There was no information on whether or not I needed to buy a ticket for my daughter. Because the tickets come with a book. I don't need a book for her.
Right.
I don't even need a seat for her, honestly.
Right.
She can sit in my lap for all I care. But so then I was like, there was nowhere to call. I tried messaging Simu on Instagram. I'm like, help me. But obviously he's not going to see it. All I'm right. like, it's worth a shot, but obviously he's not going to see it. And so then I like, it was being held at the UC Theater. So I like tried calling them and it went like to voicemail and they're like, email us for a faster response. So I emailed them and nothing. Silence.
Gosh, you need to be more
and it's
clear.
Sold out now. So I'm like, cool. Thanks. I was about to spend like $75 on this, but guess not.
So it's
fine. It is what it is. And then Elhofer Design, who I love, they're a small woman-owned US-made like shop that sells clothes and they're amazing. They just came out with a unisex jacket that is Winter Soldier themed, Bucky Barnes, and obviously I bought that so fast.
Of course.
I commented everywhere. I'm like, if I don't score this, I will riot.
Yeah.
Because that is my man.
Yeah.
And so I was able to get it. I got tracking. It said it was going to be delivered on the 16th. My flight was on the 17th. I was like, I'll bring it. I'll show Mandy. We'll geek out over it. Nope. Being delivered on the 19th now.
It could have been used today.
So
you could have used
rude.
It today.
I really could have used it
at
today.
Dinner,
it was cold.
It was cold.
And then the last thing on my list is Funko, the Funko shop online, released their exclusive May from Turning Red as a panda, the Flocked edition.
I love that.
It was so cute.
A Flocked Funko.
It was very cute. But they also dropped all the other Turning Red pops at the same time. So I just ordered them all together.
Of course.
I mean, it's Maylin, just as her, being super cute little preteen girl. And then her as a panda. It's like the 6-inch is a bigger one. Her as a panda. And then the Flocked edition was the Funko Shop exclusive. So I got that. And there's like a little plush that's a panda. And I'm like, well, I can't say no.
Obviously.
Because it's so cute. So those are coming. They're on the way to my house. Where I am not.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh no, the horror. I won't be home to open things that I will immediately put away until I find a spot to put them. Oh no.
No, please.
The horror. That's everything I have on my list, I think. That's everything I've written down. Okay. So, it's your turn.
This week, I was recovering from Disney World, and I financially assisted the Easter Bunny.
Ah, yes.
On baskets for nieces. So, I haven't really bought much, but today when we went shopping, I did pre-order something really cool. I'll show my stuff I got today first though.
Yeah.
We go to Target and obviously dogs are like my favorite thing in the whole world. So, go to the book section and I look up and see a book that's just called All Dogs Are Good, Poems and Memoirs. And if you flip through it, it's like poems
and memoirs
about dogs. They are all about dogs and I can't, like, you're coming home with me.
Yeah.
So I got it because obviously all dogs are good.
As you've got this rotten fella.
As I've got on your lap. Like, I want to take a picture real quick of like what it our life is like recording this podcast. Okay. So then I think that's all I got at Target.
Yeah.
Then we went to Gottwald's and I got A Song of Wraiths and Ruin. I know nothing about it. Looking at the back, it looks like Malik is the main character. Her younger sister is abducted by a vengeful spirit. She strikes a deal to save her sister, basically. Mm-hmm. She has to kill the princess to get her sister back.
Ooh.
And so, yeah. Seems like there might be a enemies to lovers kind of thing. She has to offer her hand in marriage to someone.
Ooh, marriage of convenience.
Yes.
I love.
Attraction flares between them and ancient evil stirs.
I love.
Yes.
I love
please.
A marriage of convenience. Enemies to lovers.
And again, I know nothing about this. Nothing at all. There, it looks like there's a sequel.
I was like, it's not a book two, is it?
No, I was just about to panic because there is a little book on the back that they did not have there, but this is the thrilling conclusion.
Okay.
So there's more.
So is it a duology then?
Yeah.
If that's the conclusion.
Yeah. Okay. I was flipping it open to see if it said, hey, there's another book, but it's just the second one.
Okay.
So there's not one before this.
Okay, good.
Oh, and I love the, I just happened to see the dedication. It says, for mom and dad and for every black child that's wondered if they're enough, you are.
Oh, my
because
heart.
Because the main character, like, on the cover is a young black woman, and she is absolutely gorgeous.
I love that.
She's got, like, chain mail on, it looks like.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
I'm already in love with her. Yeah.
I will. And then I also got I Must Betray You.
There were two copies. I read Romania 1989 and I put it in my arms. She's like, okay, thanks, me too.
It says, trust no one, tell no one, spies are everywhere.
Yeah.
I
think I read a little bit more than that, but after Romania 1989 I was already hooked.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm like, we can read that together.
Yeah, we can start a book club.
Yes.
The Incoherent Book Club. I love that we said the same thing.
Oh,
I almost was like the Incoherent Fangirl Book Club, but then I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't because we matched up really well.
And then I got the cutest little stand. It's just cardboard in the shape of a dog, but it's supposed to, like, you set it on your table and you can put a book over it.
I'll post a
photo of it on Instagram.
So much.
It's like a little dog that holds your book. It's called Sit, Stay, Keep, I think, or something like that.
I didn't even read that. I love it.
It's so cute.
So stinking cute.
And then my custom Kindle case came in. I got it from Clever Cases on Etsy.
It's beautiful.
They're out of the UK. They sent the cutest little note with it talking about how you can call their number, which is an English phone number. It's like a maroonish, pinkish, looks like an old book. On the spine, it says she reads. And on the inside, it's got their Clever Case logo. But then, like I said on the last episode, I put, until I feared I would lose it, I never love to read. One does not love breathing. And it holds my Kindle. It folds open and stays locked so that the front cover doesn't get in your way.
I was so shocked. I didn't realize Kindles were that small.
It's thin.
Teeny tiny.
It fits in my purse.
I love it.
So normally, if I didn't do it today because I didn't want to mess up. Well, I didn't have the new case yet when we were out, but normally I have it in my purse.
Yeah.
Just because you never know.
You never know when you need a good book.
And this is lighter than most books.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's with me a lot.
And I'm neurotic with my books. If I put it in my bag, I'm afraid it's going to get all bent and disgusting.
Mm-hmm. With a Kindle, that's not going to happen.
Exactly. The case might, but not the book.
Nope. Not the book. So. The book will be fine.
I love that.
I do too. Yeah. So that's where my money went this weekend. When we take you to the airport, we're probably going to spend some money on Trader Joe's.
Oh,
but that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. That leads us into our next segment, which is, I don't think we've ever actually said the name on the podcast, but this next segment is actually called Insert Clever Name for Things We're Anticipating, because it felt appropriate.
Yeah.
Because when I was making our list of things to do for this podcast, I made a list of our segment names, and I wrote in Insert Clever Name for Things We Are Anticipating. Because we didn't have a name at the time.
No, we didn't have
I was telling Mandy, I was like, this is what I wrote down. And she's like, that actually sounds like the perfect name. I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. Let's do it. We did it. So that's what this segment is called. We've never actually said it because it's a really long name.
Yeah.
But now you know.
What it is.
Now you know what it is.
It's a clever name.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
Our clever name is clever. So I think we were just talking about it. I'm anticipating crying at the end of the week when I have to leave.
Yeah.
Yep. That's well, we're going to a movie.
Yeah, we're going to see Fantastic Beasts.
Yep.
It's the Secrets of Dumbledore?
Yes.
I started to say The Crimes of Grindelwald, which isn't right.
No. Wait, what was it? The Grindelwald was...
It's Crimes of Grindelwald.
Crimes. I was like, is it also Secrets?
No. Secrets of Dumbledore.
What I really want to know, and I've seen this on TikTok, Straw Hat Goofy talked about it. Mm-hmm. Why is it Fantastic Beasts?
I'm a little bit angry about it because
you could have had
loved the first Fantastic Beasts.
You could have had a whole series about Newt.
Yeah, it has nothing.
It has nothing to do with
Newt. These don't have anything to do with Newt. He's just kind of there. When the Newt movie is so endearing and so lovely and so wonderful, and he's such an amazing character.
I loved Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I did not enjoy Crimes of Grindelwald as much because I need Newt. I want Newt.
Yeah. I love Newt.
So why are we calling it Fantastic Beasts? Why are we calling it Fantastic Beasts?
Okay, and I live and die and breathe for Leta Lestrange. She's so gorgeous.
She is. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we're going to a used book sale on Thursday.
Yeah. And the Tiki Bar.
Look we're going at that. To the Monkey's Paw.
We're really all over the place.
We will post selfies.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for it?
Oh, shit. I forgot. This is not my turn.
This one's not super controversial, but let me pull open. I did a little bit of research.
Oh, no. Don't look at me like that.
Oh, it's not controversial.
Like, don't look at me like that.
It is a point of contention in this house because my husband and I do not agree, and he is wrong.
Okay.
Ben Wyatt is a better husband than Jim Halpert.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. My husband doesn't think so. He thinks that Jim is like peak husband goals.
Sir. He tried to break them up when they first
exactly. met. Leslie's happiness is the most important thing to Ben. 100% of the time. So much so that he breaks up with her so that she can have her dream job.
Yeah.
And he's not technically the city manager. He's the assistant to the city manager or whatever.
To the regional manager.
But
that's immediately what I thought.
Breaks up with her even though he's so in love with her because he wants her to be able to run for office without anything getting in the way. And then when they both have the chance to run, I think for mayor. He pushes her into the role, even though they had decided it was going to be him.
Right. He is just the most supportive, selfless.
You will not just... Okay, so you've got the recital that Cece is in where she's the little ladybug, and Jim can't be deigned to make it to the recital because he's taken a job in Philly behind his wife's back, and then expects her to be cool with it. Doesn't communicate with her at all. Then yells at her when she doesn't record the thing because she gets a call that something very exciting for her happened.
Right.
You will never catch Ben Wyatt ever raising his voice at Leslie in anger.
No, ma'am.
Absolutely
no,
never.
No, ma'am.
He puts up with all the shenanigans, never gets frustrated, never gets ill. Jim is mean a lot of times to Dwight.
Jim is
unnecessarily. I like Jim okay.
Yeah.
But
to
Ben Wyatt.
Jim Halpert is not the ideal husband.
No.
No, ma'am.
He never yells.
I watched The Office before I watched Parks and Rec, and I was all for Pam and Jim. I was all on board. And then I watched Parks and Rec, and I was like, this show is trash.
Yeah.
Who watches The Office? Forget The Office.
Yeah. I mean, I love The Office.
No, I know.
I love them both.
I do love them, but I was just like, no, this is the relationship you want.
Yeah.
Like, no, what? I will say, however, that the whole, what is her name? Leslie's bestie.
Anne.
They like met once and then were besties.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was that's quick even for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there must have been more to it, but I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That was the only thing.
I was like, wait a second.
I was like, I don't.
Wait a second.
She's like not even all on board with you, Leslie.
Yeah.
But you're besties now. And I was like, okay, I'll go with it.
Like, and there's one scene, it doesn't have anything to do with Pam, but there's one scene in The Office that even Josh will say, yeah, that was douchey, is Andy Bernard goes to anger management because he punches the hole in the wall in The Office because he gets so mad.
Right.
He's gone for several episodes, which is supposed to be a couple of weeks, and he comes back and he's like, I'm a different person. I apologize for my actions. And they say, hey, Andy, I'm glad you're back. And he says, actually, would you please call me Drew? Mm-hmm. And Jim turns to him and says, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's so, like, I understand that you're used to calling him something, but, like, he's asking you, he's right. trying to make a change in his life. He's asking you to call him something else, and you right. just completely say no. I hate that.
It's like using somebody's dead name.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly disrespectful.
Yeah.
And it's, oof, that's so icky. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah. Every time we watch it, I'm like,
icky. Oh.
And then the whole thing with the sound guy. When he was there to comfort Pam when she was crying, because Jim was,
right
again, belittling her and being awful to her. Yeah, not awful, but he was being
not being
mean,
supportive.
Not being supportive and fighting with her, and she's crying. He turns it around and makes it Pam's fault that he made her cry.
Okay, gaslighter.
Yeah, it was very incredibly gaslighty. You will never catch Ben Wyatt.
No, ma'am.
Treating Leslie that way.
No, ma'am.
She is the priority 100% of the time. He'd never take a job Mm-mm. in a different city hours away without talking
ma'am.
To her. He does end up working in D.C., but it's because they come to a mutual agreement that
they talk it out.
This is great for you. This is
their
such a good opportunity.
Their communication is peak.
Yes.
That is, ugh. Their relationship, their entire relationship, their communication.
Goals.
Absolutely.
The
couple
vows.
Goals.
The vows.
Absolutely.
I love you and I like you.
Couple goals. I love them.
I want to rewatch Parks. See, so.
I love them.
The Office is Josh's comfort show. Mm-hmm. And I get, like, I have several. I have Parks and Rec. I have Schitt's mm-hmm. Creek, Downton. Like, if I just want something on in the background that mm-hmm. I just is going to make me feel warm and cozy, it's one of those three. Or I'm good with The Office.
Yeah.
He will turn on The Office at bedtime every night. When he's going mm-hmm. to sleep, he'll listen to The Office until he falls asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you put on Parks and Rec, and he's like, I watched through it once, and I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I won't. It's just I'm less interested than The Office. And I'm like, you really,
you really
need to watch
need
Parks
to.
And Rec again and try then to tell me that
yeah.
Jim is better than Ben.
Yeah, there's no,
no
way.
There are very few TV husbands who are better than Ben Wyatt, honestly.
I can't think of one.
Exactly. Okay, you need to watch The Gilded Age, because George Russell is a pretty jam
okay.
up husband. There's parts where, like, maids try to come on to him, and he mm-hmm. is like, you are crazy if you think that I am interested in you when I have my wife.
When
I am
I've got
desperately
her.
In love with her. And yeah, so
I
he's great, but man, Ben Wyatt.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my, I don't know why it popped into my head, because I still have one that is going to be a fandom divided, but I'm saving that
for
a little bit longer.
I have one, and I don't know where you stand on it, so that'll be really interesting next week. We have to start that segment talking about our books.
Yeah.
Because I want to tell this story.
I haven't made any progress. I mean, you can tell it. I just haven't made any progress on my book in a while.
What are we calling this segment? Writer's block.
Oh, yeah.
Writer's block, because it has a dual meaning.
Yeah.
Because we could be stuck, or it's a block of time
block
we're talking
time
about
we
writing.
Talk about writing.
We're so clever. Look at us.
Ravenclaws.
Yay.
I'm an airheaded Ravenclaw, but I'm here.
It's fine. That's how, you know, we can't be all on it all the time.
Yeah.
But anyways, the story is that I was writing my book, and my main character is graduating from USC, and I wanted to have it accurate. So I was writing it as if it was like my college graduation ceremony, because I know how my college graduation mm-hmm. ceremony was. You know, you walk up, you give them a paper with your name, they announce your name, you walk the stage, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you don't get your diploma. You get a stand-in
thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, shake a hand, walk across stage. So I wrote it like that. And then after I wrote this entire scene, I decided to Google USC graduation, because what I wanted to do, I wanted to make it like the positioning accurate, like how the stage is set up, where mm-hmm. the seats are or whatnot. So I Googled it. USC has separate ceremonies. They have a general ceremony for like everybody who's graduating, and they announce each school, and the graduates from that school stands up. I confer, blah, blah, blah. And then each individual school has their own ceremony. So I had to rewrite that entire, like, chapter, because I wrote it as...
You didn't want USC students, when they read it coming up, well, this is wrong.
I was like, And I, like, yeah, I could make it up. Like, it's, yeah, it's a fictional book. Like, this is, yeah, not actually happening.
Right.
But I was like, no, like, if I'm going to use a real place, I want to make it as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do my research. So I did. I Googled. I watched a USC graduation ceremony. And then I watched a USC School of Journalism graduation ceremony so that I could get it exactly right, and rewrote my entire chapter. And I was like, why couldn't I have Googled this beforehand?
Yeah.
And then I texted Beth. Oh, no. And I told her, I had to rewrite my entire graduation scene because I didn't realize USC has two separate ones. She's like, oh yeah, I knew that. My cousin graduated from USC. I'm like, bitch, where were you when I was writing this?
Why didn't you tell me that?
You knew that my main character was...
all this time.
How dare you? You knew she was going to USC. You knew she was graduating. And yet, you didn't tell me this.
Word.
Not even casually be like, oh, by the way, they have separate ceremonies for each school. That would have been really helpful before I wrote the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
How dare
you? Thank you, Beth.
Thank you so much.
End of the podcast.
Enemy of the pod.
Enemy of the pod now. You're on our list.
Not really.
Beth.
Not really. Because I love her and we have movie nights.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that is my fun story about how I had to rewrite an entire chapter. Because
heart.
I didn't do my research first.
Well, I guess my fun story is because I don't... I haven't written in like a month.
Yeah.
But... I decided after like 60,000 words that I wanted to change the tenth.
Yep.
So I had to go back through like 30 something chapters and change the tenth. So I'm going to have a very serious editor. I already have someone in mind who she does it like on the side, I guess.
Yeah.
But
is it somebody that we know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to have to, like, be very serious because I absolutely could have missed.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll jump from past to present to past to present.
Yeah. That's actually part of... So, I wrote 7 chapters and I was like, okay, I need to take a break because I can't write this scene right now. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to write this scene. And then it came to me, I'm like, I can't write this scene in chapter 7. This has to be chapter 1. Fuck.
Yeah.
So I had to go back. I wrote a whole new chapter 1, shifted everything back. But, and we talked about this, when I was writing, everything was in past tense because it's like she's telling the story. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1 is in present tense.
So it jumps.
So it's going to start in the present and then it jumps back to get her back to that point. It's written like a TV show.
I like it.
Where it starts in the middle of the story.
Let me tell you how I got here, and then it plays the...
It starts in the middle of the story, and then chapter 2 starts at the beginning in the past, and it goes up until you get to get back to chapter 1.
Yeah.
Which, actually, it's not going to be the middle of the story. It's going to be pretty quick, because I was about to write this scene in chapter 7. So, obviously, it's not going to be, like, the middle of the story, because a 14-chapter book seems pretty short.
Yeah.
Pretty short.
What's crazy to me is if you Google like how many pages is 70,000 words, which was my original goal. That's like 100 pages.
It's not that much.
Which is like, oh god.
I cannot tell you the number of times I have Googled how many words in a chapter in a novel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no.
Oh, okay, I suck.
Well,
like that's how I feel.
I'm like, this is not gonna work. And then I'm reading An Arrow to the Moon, and her chapter, she's got like 2-page chapters, and I'm like, you know what? I'm in.
I can do that.
You can do.
There's
no rules.
Yeah,
it's your own pacing.
I don't know. I could not tell you the name of the book, but I remember vividly a teacher in high school talking about how someone published a book that has zero punctuation at all in it, not an apostrophe, not a period. But it's how they want. Yeah. It's their art. It's their story. It's their words.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. And I wish I could remember. She said it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was 15
Many
years
ago.
Ago.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I like that.
So like, you, if you don't want to
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Two-word chapter, you can have a two-word chapter.
Speaking of which, I think there's something similar to that in The Astonishing Color of After.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember reading that, and I remember there was one chapter which is literally, like, a paragraph, and then it was the next chapter, and I'm like, you can do that?
Yes. It's your book. Who's going to tell you you can't?
I was like,
especially if you self-publish.
Right.
Who's going to tell you no?
And she's like a New York Times best-selling author. This is a traditionally published book. I'm like, if Emily XR Pan can do that, I can do it too.
Yeah.
Like, girl, I want to talk about something before we log off. Okay. We can cut this into the beginning, maybe.
Okay.
But I want to talk about something that's driving me crazy.
Uh-oh.
My phone's at 10%, so hopefully this will show up. So, recently, there was news that Ali Wong and her husband are splitting up after 8 years of marriage.
Uh-huh.
And this is the tweet from Parade magazine.
Wait a second.
Mm-hmm. That's Randall Park. She's not married to Randall Park. She's married.
I was going to say, that's also, he's Jim from The Office, isn't it?
that's Randall Park. That's not her husband, Justin Hakuta. And then from MSN, Ali Wong and husband Justin Hakuta divorcing after 8 years of marriage, reports say, that is a picture of neither of them. That is Randall Park.
And Randall Park is Jim from The Office.
That's not.
Hold on.
Yeah, that is.
No. It is? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought so.
No, that is. It's Jimmy Woo.
What?
Yeah.
You guys.
That's not.
Two different.
That's not her husband.
Yeah, two different
news outlets reported Ali Wong and her husband, Justin Hakuta, are splitting up after 8 years of marriage.
And neither of them posted a picture of Justin Hakuta.
Yeah. Both of them posted photos of Randall Park. So, as an Asian American,
yeah,
I am deep. Like, all of Twitter was a buzz.
Yeah.
The hashtag wrong Asian was trending for quite some time. Yeah.
I'm like speechless.
I saw this screenshot. I didn't see the tweet, but I saw the screenshot because I'm in this group called Subtle Asian Traits on Facebook,
yeah,
which is just a group for Asians and Asian American people of Asian descent,
yeah,
to come together and just kind of commiserate about, yeah, life because
every Asian person looks the same. And sarcasm.
The experience.
Please don't take that out of context. That was a very sarcastic yes. statement.
Yes. but it's mostly like because they're very unique experiences that, yeah, we go through, especially as Asian people. Born in Asian Americans born in Asia, Asian Americans born in the mm-hmm. U.S., Asian versus Asian American, like mm-hmm. they're unique experiences, and it's a group basically just for us to all come together and have a space because who else is going to understand?
Right,
us?
Absolutely.
And so this screenshot of the Parade magazine tweet was posted, and the caption was just, "Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them?
Is it still up?" Like, it was deleted.
It was deleted, and there was an apology issued. But it was like, listen, racist.
Do your research.
Like, they don't even look alike.
No.
At all.
Well, okay, I don't know. I don't know.
But I looked it up. So Justin Hakuta. I'm like, I don't know. They look literally nothing alike.
Okay, that is absurd.
Literally.
That is absurd.
Literally nothing alike.
Is this from the, hold on.
Always Be My Maybe, the premiere.
But the photo that they posted is was from the same event. Premiere.
Yep. It's from the,
I was like, her outfit is the same.
It's the same event. They posted a photo of her and Randall Park at the Always Be My Maybe premiere where they were co-stars. Because they were together on the red carpet.
Speechless.
But they look nothing alike. Literally
at all.
Nothing alike. You cannot convince me that you think that, look, here's a side-by-side.
They look nothing alike.
How? Just how?
He's her husband seems taller, leaner. He seems, Randall's kind of thicker, got a more full face.
More fuller hairline.
Yeah, her husband's hairline is much further
facial,
back.
Yeah, it's
the,
just like,
his husband's face is much more narrow and long.
He's got like a sharper jaw.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, they literally look nothing alike.
They really don't look anything alike at all. That's crazy.
It's insane. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So yeah, that I've been holding on to that all week because I was like, Mandy, I don't know if you've seen this, but I need you to see.
No, I didn't because I don't get on Twitter very often.
I didn't even see this on Twitter. I saw this in a Facebook group and then I saw a news article about it.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And I was just like, Lord have mercy.
That's insane.
They literally look nothing alike.
And not one, but two.
Separate news outlets got it wrong. Like, are you kidding me?
That is baffling.
I don't even know.
That's embarrassing.
That is sad. What happened? Like, you're supposed to be checking your sources and all this shit as a journalist.
People like that are the reason that you have people who are like,
the earth is flat.
The earth is flat. You can't trust the CDC.
Pigeons are robots.
Birds aren't real. The birds are part of the bourgeoisie.
Y'all, Google baby pigeons.
Most terrifying.
I apologize in advance, but Google baby pigeons. Just Google pictures.
So at dinner tonight, we have a downtown area in my hometown, and it is... it's a nice little area, but I saw my first pigeon there. I am downtown several times a week, and I've never seen a pigeon. So we saw a pigeon, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Josh, look, there's a pigeon. What the world? And he regales us with how birds aren't real. They're government robots, which I love this theory.
I love it.
Because he's like, have you ever seen a baby pigeon? And I'm like, well, no.
So then she Googled it.
I Googled it.
And it was the worst decision ever.
Don't.
No, do it.
Especially if you're going to eat.
No, do it.
They're so scary looking.
I've had more alcohol than Mandy. I say do it.
Oh, it's so scary.
It was traumatic.
God.
I apologize.
The reason is because they stay in their nest until they look like an adult. Because obviously world would ugly shame you. I mean, I hate that you'd be ugly shamed, but sometimes you gotta call a spade a spade.
Honestly, talk about an ugly duckling story.
Yeah.
Because baby pigeons are not cute at all. It's not.
They could be. Like, what if they came out gray and fluffy?
They are not. If you do not believe us, please go Google image search baby pigeons.
Ugh.
And you will understand. I apologize in advance, but oh.
And then he told us that it's not all birds that are robots. It's just pigeons.
Because you never see a baby pigeon.
And then, I think it was while you were in the bathroom, one circled around us.
No, I didn't go to the bathroom. You did. I didn't get up from that table. The pigeon was there. I didn't get up from the table.
You didn't get up from the table.
No.
So when I made eye contact with it.
We were all there.
No, you had gotten up to get your kid.
I never got up from my seat.
What the heck?
I never once got up from my
seat. I thought you were sitting back down when I, or maybe it was the waiter who walked up when I said, oh, the FBI is tracking me now.
Yeah.
Because I remember somebody coming up here.
It
was taller than your kid.
It wasn't me.
And I thought it was you. Okay, so maybe
I was there when you said that you made eye contact.
I made eye contact. That means I'm in the FBI's radar. That's what it was. It was somebody bringing our drinks.
I was like,
somebody standing next to me.
I did not move from my seat.
Yeah, okay.
I fell over because my child decided that was going to be a game.
Yeah.
But I did not get up from my seat.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have seen this weekend that I am so scatterbrained.
Mandy is such an airhead and I love it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing ever.
I space out so much. It's like, I don't even know.
All right.
I guess, Karen, give them this spiel and we can be...
We're ending it.
We can wrap this up.
Because we have gone...
I'm dumb.
We've gone real extra incoherent. How many shots did y'all take?
And that was...
The incoherent fangirl
with tequila.
With Terramana tequila. Dwayne Johnson, please sponsor us.
We would love some your sponsorship.
We love you. If you enjoyed the podcast and all of its incoherency, first of all, please let us know how many shots you took during this episode. Secondly, you can follow us on social media. We are The Incoherent Fangirl on Instagram and Twitter. Nope, that's a lie.
Everywhere but Twitter.
Everywhere but Twitter. Instagram and TikTok at The Incoherent Fangirl. At Incoherent Girls on Twitter because they have a character limit, which pisses me off to no end.
F you, Twitter.
Frickin' Twitter. Like our Facebook page, The Incoherent Fangirl. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, or send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. Boom, I got him.
We did it.
Oh, and you can follow us on YouTube.
There, yep. We're there too.
I'm getting more creative with these non-video videos.
We want you to be able to find us wherever you go.
Like, follow, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us to on.
Hit us with a review. We like those. We like to read your words.
We like reading, so write stuff
even
for us to read.
Yeah.
Let us know how you feel. Are you Team Ben or Team Jim?
Which, are you right?
Are you right or are you wrong? There is no in between.
No.
We won't judge you too harshly for it.
Who's the better husband?
The answer.
Benjamin Wyatt.
There is a correct answer, and it is Ben Wyatt.
She's got that butt, as Leslie would say. All she talks about.
But if you disagree, we won't hold it against you.
I will.
Mandy will. I will continue drinking and will not hold it against you. Is that all the things that we say at the end?
We talk about our coupon codes.
We visit our sponsor at herecomesthenerd.com. Use code FANGIRL at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Woo-woo.
Or you can go to...
You can go to onceuponabookclub.com and get 10% off your order by using code MANDY10 at checkout. MANDY10.
And stay tuned because we got fun goodies for y'all coming up. As soon as it happens, you'll know. Yeah. You'll know. We will let you know. It's very exciting. I think it's super exciting.
Yeah.
We had a really good Zoom meeting today. Mm-hmm. Very excited. So stay tuned. We will let you know about that when we got all our details ironed out. What else we got? Is that it?
I think that's it.
That's how we close, right?
That's it.
I said all the socials.
You said all the socials. We said our codes.
We said our contact info. Nobody's emailed us about Patreon, y'all. We want to do
know
Patreon.
About Patreon.
We let us know about Patreon. You could see... Lots of stuff is getting cut from this episode, and you could see all of it because...
Oh, God.
It's pretty funny. I think we're pretty hilarious.
I'm, like, trying not to, like, just fall asleep because of this tequila.
It's so good.
It's in my bloodstream now, and I'm just like, ooh.
All right. That's it.
Terramana.
Terramana Tequila. Please sponsor us.
Please.
We love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.